This is Phil Farron, and I am driving home. It's Thursday today, and it's actually a tad earlier than I do this because I received a phone call from my wife earlier today. She had gone out to a tea room with a friend and unfortunately had left the tea room, which was several miles south of here, and left her keys. She was able to do that because she had ridden to the tea room in her friend's car, but of course when she got to pick up her car back on the north side of town, she did not have her keys. So it's one of those, oh rats. And it's not been the best of all possible days for her, because apparently our eldest dog has developed a case of diarrhea. And so she's had to contend with that on top of not having her keys. And then got back to the house to get her spare keys so that she could come back and get her car. And in the meantime, had to clean up the big mess that the dog had left for her. Yeah, it's just one of those, you know, it's one of those days. And then, of course, discovered that we don't actually have any more car keys at our house that will start her car, because hers is a newer car, unlike my car, which is not a newer car. Hers is a newer car that has one of those chips in the key that have to be programmed, so we only had two of them made. And so I had the only other key that would start her car, so she called me up and we discussed strategies, and I said, well, why don't I just bring you this key? So I left work a little bit early. I will probably go home tonight and make up the time, because I can dial in and get that done. And then I had a chance to see my son-in-law, which is always a joy and a pleasure, and chat with him a bit. And now I'm actually in the process of driving home. I am going to have to take a somewhat circuitous route, because if I drove home from where I gave my wife the keys, I would only have 10 minutes to talk. So I'm going to make a loop up away from the house and then back down, and I'm sure it will work out fine. Anyways, it is episode 130 today, which seems amazing. And probably means that there is no way that anyone is ever going to listen to all of these. Because anyone who kind of comes in late to this game is probably not going to go back and listen to me ramble for 130 episodes. And anyone who got started early in this game, I have probably lost or offended or bored to death at some point in all of this. So, there you go. Unless, of course, it's Darren, and you know who you are, buddy. And if you actually have listened to all of these, I appreciate the support. So, anyways, a good friend. So it's episode 130. I had mentioned several weeks ago when I was talking about Blink, there's a man walking down the street with a garbage bag talking to himself. You see those things occasionally. Anyways, I had mentioned that I would do another episode on Blink. It's a book. I did not write down the author's names, rats. It's called Blink, The Power of Thinking Without Thinking, and it's all about our unconscious brain, our autonomic functioning brain that reaches all sorts of conclusions for us and bubbles those up to us. And one of the chapters that he has in this book are on implicit associations, or unconscious associations, they're also called. And it really is pretty fascinating. We all have implicit associations. It's interesting, as you go through the book, he's constantly saying, you'll never be able to understand what's going on underneath the covers in your unconscious brain. Stuff just bubbles up from there and you'll never know where it comes from. Well, that is true. And when I talk to people about things going on in our brains, I try to hurriedly admit to them that I have no idea what's really going on. However, I think it is possible to develop a model that assists you in how you make the determination of dealing with the information that bubbles up from your unconscious, and we will talk about that in just a few minutes. So, while it is true that we'll never know, I think there are models that we can use that help us understand the myriad of information that we're getting, both good and bad, from our unconscious. And part of that information that comes to us is in the form of implicit associations. For instance, I read a statistic today that would be an implicit association. Apparently, Toyota is quoting stats, and that 93% of American drivers believe they are above average. Which, obviously, if you think about that for a minute, you would say, that's impossible. It's certainly impossible that 93% of American drivers would be above average in their driving skills. But it's certainly not impossible that 93% of American drivers would think that they were above average. And why would they think that they are above average? Because they have an implicit association. It's based on a bunch of things that they don't even really think about. One of them being that, well, I'm good at stuff. Okay, that's good. That's good. And I'm certainly better than everybody else around me, so I must be above average. Okay, yeah, well, that at its heart is an implicit association. It's not really a factual basis for it. We just assume that we're good at it. So, Blink documents some tests and some studies that have been done trying to determine the scope of these implicit associations and what their effect might be on us. Very interesting. And some of the tests that they have developed to test implicit associations are, not coincidentally, named implicit association tests. So how they do this is they give you a left side and a right side on a piece of paper and then information down the center. And so your job is to put check marks either on the left side or the right side of the paper, or simply tap your eraser on the left side or the right side, or if you happen to be using a computer, to maybe type the letter E when whatever flashes on the screen, and then type the letter I when whatever else flashes on the screen for left and right. The types of things they test then are things like, they would say, all right, here, we're going to test gender. So we're going to give you a list of names of children, and you tell us whether it's male or female. And if it's male, you put a check mark on the left, and if it's female, you put a check mark on the right. All right, that's not actually the implicit association. That's just a warm-up. So people go down, you know, Johnny, Susie, Tommy, Bernadette, left, right, left, right, left, right. Not hard. Okay, that's easy. The next thing they do is they say, all right, now everything that is either male or a career, put on the left side, and everything that is female, or family put on the right side. And so typically people don't have that much trouble with that either. And the list of words might be something like Lisa, laundry, Matt, John, merchant, Bob, capitalist, home, entrepreneur, Holly. And as you go down, if it's male or a career, you put it on the left side. If it's female or having to do with family, put it on the right side. I personally, when I just scanned down through the list, I didn't know where to put laundry. Because I looked at it and thought, well, that's a career and it's also something you do for your family. But that's neither here nor there. Where it starts to actually get interesting is when they start switching it up to where they say, okay, now when you have a male name or it concerns family, do the left side. Or when you have a female name or it concerns career, do the right side. So now you have to keep straight in your brain. The left side is male and family, and right side is female and career. And this reminds me of an old, old, old brain teaser of the man and his son who are driving at night, and there is an accident. The man is killed. And the ambulance comes and takes the son to the hospital and gets all scrubbed up, and the ER doctor walks in and takes one look at him and says, I cannot operate. He is my son. The idea with the brain teaser is, well, how can this be? You can shut off. If you've never heard this before, you can pause it right here and come up with the answer. If you don't already have the answer, which I'm guessing that younger people will come up with the answer sooner. And it's exactly this scenario. Because for people of my generation or older, there is an implicit association between male and career, just like there is an implicit association between female and family. And so when we hear the scenario that a man and his son are in an accident and the man dies and they take the son to the hospital and the doctor comes in and says, I cannot operate, he is my son, we just immediately assume that the doctor is male. And then we're confused because how can this boy have two fathers, two biological fathers? I remember when I heard that for the first time, it actually, when I was much, much younger, it actually took me a little bit to get it straightened out. I can't remember whether I got it straightened out or not. I should have been able to get it straightened out, however, because I grew up in the Philippines. And in the Philippines, the professional fields were dominated by women. It was absolutely commonplace to have medical doctors who were women, to have dentists who were women. It was commonplace. And so that really shouldn't have slowed me down at all. And frankly, it's been long enough since I've heard it that I can't really recall whether it slowed me down or not. But that's an implicit association. Where things really start to get interesting with implicit associations have to do with race. And the most famous test, implicit association test, is the implicit association test for race. And what they'll do is you start off easy with the warm-up, where they will have pictures of people. And if they are Caucasian, you're supposed to put them in the left-hand column. And if they're African-American, you're supposed to check the right-hand column. everybody does pretty well at that. You know, it's not hard. Left, right, left, right, left, right, left, right. The next thing that happens, though, is they give you a test where they add qualities, words that are qualities, anger, hate, jealousy, love, kindness, generosity. And they say, okay, now what we want you to do is, if it's Caucasian or a bad quality, we want you to put the check mark in the left column. If it's African American, if the person is African American, or you see a good quality, we want you to put the check mark in the right column. Okay, well, this becomes a little more difficult and people struggle with it. And obviously, if you're doing it on a computer, you can check down to the millisecond how fast the response rates are. And after you complete that test, then they turn around and say, okay, let's do another one now. Basically the same set of words, basically the same types of pictures. But now what we're going to do is, if you see a Caucasian picture or the quality you read in the word is good, we want you to put the check mark on the left-hand side. And if you see an African-American picture and the quality or the quality that you read is bad, we want you to put a check mark on the right-hand side. And the author in particular felt some distress when he took this test, because it was much easier for him to make the identifications of the words and the pictures when the test aligned Caucasians and good versus African Americans and bad, instead of aligning things Caucasians and bad versus African Americans and good. In other words, what the test was exposing was that there was an implicit association between Caucasians and good, as well as African Americans and bad. And he was distressed about this. He was distressed that he would have this implicit association. Because he said, my mother was actually Jamaican, so I'm half black. And he said, I couldn't believe how much I struggled with this. And the scientists, in measuring this, found that most people have, most Caucasians have this same struggle, and 50% of African Americans have this same struggle. Because we are fed a steady stream of images, of situations, where many of the roles that we see in television, in music, in our general environment are very much stereotypical. Looks like my neighbor is mowing his lawn. I may need to say hello, depending on if I drive up and he happens to be driving back, and we'll see. So I may stop and say hello. What was interesting is, oh, maybe he's driving away from me. I'll see. Anyways, what's interesting is he felt it important to go into a big, long explanation about whether or not he was racist. And he had to conclude, no, I'm not racist. Which I thought, you know, I don't know why we are so paranoid about this term, because my conclusion is, since we all have flesh, that, and the flesh is racist, I'm getting my mail, we're all racist. There's one part of us, all of us, we're all racist. Okay? So we might as well just recognize that deep down inside of us, there is a component that's racist. And I think that's what you're seeing in this whole implicit association test. You are seeing the fact that, oh, it's coming back, it's coming back. I may just stop and say, hey. Just got out and waved a little bit. You know, that's what you see in this implicit association test. You see the fact that you've got the flesh down there that's just bubbling up stuff all the time. And anything it can get any kind of traction on, it's going to get some traction on. And it's going to bubble it up and it's going to try to invoke some type of emotion or some type of belief. And it's going to try to hammer you with it because that's what it likes to do to keep things torn up. So it's very interesting. Now, the other thing that's very interesting about this whole implicit association test, and this is where we get to sort of the practical side of all this, because we all have implicit associations. We all do. And if we don't recognize, I'm backing into my garage. And if we don't recognize that we have implicit associations, then the flesh really is going to be able to lead us around by the nose much, much easier. Whereas if you recognize that your first flash on something might be a really good idea, but it might not be a really good idea as well. Like if when you're walking into the grocery store and you see someone of another race walking towards you, the first flash of an idea that might hit you is, that kind of stuff. We need to recognize that that's an implicit association, and it's no doubt being gelled up and ginned up by the flesh, and we don't need to listen to that. Because over and over in this chapter, the author kept saying things like, we are not helpless in the face of our first impressions. Just because something is outside of our awareness, it doesn't mean that it's outside of our control. And I absolutely agreed with that. Now, one final thing about this implicit association test that's interesting is he related the story of someone who took it a lot because it kind of concerned him, and he was trying to see if he was making any progress. And then suddenly, one day, he came in and he took it. And he actually had a positive tendencies towards African Americans. First time it had ever happened. And he was stunned. And as he reflected on it and as he discussed it, he remembered that morning, he had spent the morning watching the Olympics, seeing a good many black athletes compete, and compete very, very well. And so it was easier for him, with those images fresh in his mind, it was easier for him to make the good associations. So that's pretty interesting. So I had mentioned before that when I discussed this, I actually have a technique, and it's not a new technique, but I felt more invigorated and empowered in my little technique having read this chapter. And that technique is simply to keep my head up when I am out in public, and when I see people, to greet them and smile, and especially when I see people of other races, to greet them and to smile. Because I cannot tell you how many times I have been walking into Walmart or walking out of Walmart or walking up an aisle and have someone approach me, scowling, looking like they wanted to be anywhere but in Walmart, and waiting for them to get in range. And then when they are in range, for me to say, "How are you today, sir? How are you today, ma'am?" And watch their face light up and say, "Good, thank you." Or say, "Good, how are you?" And then I'll hear, "Thank you," afterwards. Because you see, I understand that I've got all these images that I'm collecting from our media, from our environment, from our society. I'm collecting these images. And what I want to do is I want to put in additional images to balance out those images that I've been fed. And so I greet people. And I remember the change of expression. I remember the sullen expression suddenly lighting up into a beautiful, radiant smile. And I think it helps me. I went to try to take the implicit association test for race, but the email address that was, or the web address that was in the book didn't work. But I may find one and take one and report on my progress. I have no doubt that I will have certain implicit associations. I mean, it's, you grow up, that's the way it goes. I did grow up in the Philippines. Maybe that'll help a little bit. I don't know. I'll take the test. We'll see. But it really is fascinating. I think what helps us with all of this is to feed in as many good associations as we can consciously. I think whenever we're watching television or a movie or any of those types of things, to remember that this is just a creative effort. This isn't truth. This is just something that's put together. And frankly, the process of nitpicking helps me to do that, that this is just a storyteller telling a story and they might not be telling me the truth. Hopefully that helps with it as well. And then I think also we just always have to be vigilant. That when stuff bubbles up from our unconscious, we first of all just need to take a beat, pause, and especially if it bubbles up hard and fast with a lot of energy behind it, at that point we need to go to quiet. And just give ourselves a chance to rock back and look at it and say, what are the beliefs that are driving this? And are those beliefs true or false? Or, in other words, is it coming from flesh or spirit? And if it's coming from flesh, then we need to back away from it and try to get a spotlight down on that false belief so that we can expose it and we can dissipate it. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.